Hey, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. So during the life of Christ, during his time here on earth, there were some, according to Jewish wedding customs, what would happen is the bridegroom came at a day and hour that the bride didn't know that he would come. Okay? Before that time, there'd be an engagement period, the betrothal time. And so they would, all right, they'd be betrothed, they'd be together, and he would then go and he'd prepare his place for her. Okay? He'd be getting it ready, what he would provide for her. And it wasn't until the father of the young man, the bridegroom, said, all right, go get your bride, could he then go and get his bride. Okay? And as he would go, he would send his friend before him. And that friend would go out before him, and he would shout, and he'd say, behold, the bridegroom cometh! So that the bride and everybody else knew, hey, the wedding's about to take place. The bridegroom's going to come. He's going to get the bride, all right? And sometimes there'd be some trumpets included. You know, imagine it's probably ram's horn or something. You get a piece of ram's horn, blow a trumpet. And they'd go. So then the bridegroom would come. He'd get his bride, and they'd go back to his father's house, and the celebration would begin, and it'd be great, and it'd be all fine and dandy, all right? Now imagine for yourself for a minute here. Imagine if the friend of the bridegroom ran ahead, climbed up, blew a trumpet, and said, behold, I have arrived. Everyone would look at him going, okay, so what? Why do we care if you've arrived? And then all of a sudden the bridegroom shows up. And the friend is just going, well, hey, I'm here. Aren't you guys happy I'm here? And they're going, are you supposed to announce him? You'd think, what a selfish guy. How selfish of him to get up here. It's the big day for this bride, for this bridegroom, and yet that friend is making it all about him. He's made it all about him. He doesn't really care about his friend. Well, that friend is the picture of John the Baptist. Look in John chapter 3 here, verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Here we got some Jews, they've come to John the Baptist, and previous verses, we see that Jesus was baptizing. And really, it looks like they want to stir up some trouble with John the Baptist here. Because they come to him and they say, hey, you know that guy that you made mention of? I find they won't even call Jesus by name. They don't even mention his name. They just, you know, behold the person that you bear witness of. Yeah, we saw, we heard he was baptizing. I say saw, they didn't see. I don't think they even were there. They said, we heard he was baptizing some other people. And you know, he seems to have more people coming to him than to you. I think they're trying to stir up some problems with John. If you go to the next chapter here real quick. Chapter 4, look at verse 1 and 2. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and John added this in verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. See, these Jews, I don't think they actually showed up to witness the baptisms, because if they had gone there, they would have seen it. Well, there's Jesus, and oh, he's not actually baptizing anybody. It's all his disciples that are doing the baptizing. Oh, they just heard something going on, and so they decided to go to John and try to start some problems here, and John doesn't get jealous. He replies to them that he was sent to signal. He's like, hey, I came like a bridegroom comes. The friend of the bridegroom comes to let you know, hey, the bridegroom's coming. He's like, that was my job. My job was to come and let you know that, hey, Christ is coming. And when he arrived, I told you he was here. Here he is. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, I pointed him out to you. You know what he says in that last verse? In verse 29 there at the end, he goes, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. It's almost like, my job's done. My job is complete. He doesn't care. He says, hey, I don't care if my ministry doesn't get as big as his. That wasn't the point. The point of my ministry was to announce his arrival, and now that he's here, my ministry can shrink. My joy has been fulfilled. I'm happy. I did my job, and it's done. And then he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Nothing else matters. When something must happen, when it must happen, it absolutely has to take place. It must happen. He's saying, he must increase. It absolutely must happen. But in order for him to increase, John said, hey, I had to decrease. I must decrease. We're going to look at that tonight. Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. Let's go to God in a word of prayer tonight. So Lord, we thank you for your word and what we can get from it. God, we just ask you to meet with us. Be with us. Give me the right words to say. Help me to be a help to these folks and show them something from your word that hopefully will be a help to them in their Christian life so they can be a better servant for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus must increase and I must decrease in a couple areas in our life. First of all, in popularity. Today, you know, social media, all this stuff, that it's all about that individual, right? I've got 500,000 followers. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Well, I've got 10 million followers, a whole lot more than you. And, oh, but this person, they've got 900, you know. It's all about them. It's all about them. If John the Baptist had a social media account, well, he would have had a great following. And then all of a sudden, he would have had a whole bunch of people start unfriending him. Because all of a sudden, they would have been friending Jesus. And you know what John the Baptist would have said? Praise the Lord. He must increase and I must decrease. He wouldn't have cared. It wouldn't have bothered him. It wouldn't have bothered him at all. But too many people, they care about what others think of them. They go, oh man, what? I got to be careful. I care about what this person thinks or what this person thinks, and I don't want to offend this person. But there's also a flip side. We can also get to a point where we don't care where anybody thinks. And that's not always the right attitude to have either, because there's a caveat there I'm going to throw in there real quick here in a minute. But sometimes we can go, I don't care what anyone thinks. You know, I'm just going to do my own thing. Well, if what their opinion of you turns them away from Christ, that's not a good thing. It's okay to not, you know, hey, I'm going to do right whether you like it or not. That kind of attitude, okay, that's a good thing. Don't let people's ideas and how they think about you determine if you're going to serve God, if you're going to do right. But if you are doing things where you're like, well, I don't care what you think or have to say, and it turns them away from Christ, you're not pointing others to him. You're increasing yourself, and then Christ is getting decreased. We're here to represent him. Do you care if your life points them to Christ or pushes them away? Do you care that Jesus receives more attention than you? He should. If he's going to increase, then he needs to get more attention than us. Are you willing to be a fool for Christ? I believe it was Paul talking about being a fool for Christ. Not being stupid, but you know, some people they look at you, oh, you're just a fanatic. I can't believe you. You know, you're just a Jesus freak. Yeah, for Jesus I will be. Not for anyone else, but for Jesus I will be. Because he must increase, I must decrease. How about in my conversation? I got thinking about this one. I'm like, my conversation. See, everyone communicates with somebody. We have something to talk about. Often we see, you know, see each other beginning, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? How's the weather? You know, just small little chit-chat.
But does it go beyond that? Well, I always talk about, you know, how we're doing, how our day is going right now, and then maybe some other things. But does it get on to him? Does the conversation somehow turned? What is talked about more? How your day has been, what you've done, or hey, Lord's been good to me today because of. See, what it is the focus is on how is everything affecting me right now and not, okay, how is God working in my life? How am I living my life today so that I can please him? Our focus isn't, am I going to please my Savior? It's, okay, what good can I get from me today? And so because of that, it turns into our conversation. Our conversation has nothing to do with him. Has everything to do about ourselves. How much does he come up in conversation? Do you bring him up? Do you tell other people about him? Even, you know, hey, even our loved ones, do we talk about him? Do we talk about, you know, hey, I'll even say the things of the Bible. Do you talk about things of the Bible? I mean, hey, Jesus is the Word, right? So that, nothing wrong with saying, hey, we'll talk some Scripture. That's a good thing to talk about, but does it come up at all? Or is our conversation solely focused on us and just in the sense of, and look, I know we've got to talk about things, okay? You go to the job, you can't just sit there and preach to your coworkers, okay, because you're going to get fired. You got to do your job. But is that all it is? Get up, it's all about you. You go to work, you come home. All about how your day went, and then you hear all about how her day went and how your kid's day went, and then that's it. Or does Christ get mentioned at any point? Now we take it a little step further. How about your thoughts? Does Christ ever come up in your thoughts? He must increase in my thoughts, and I must decrease in my thoughts. Hey, our brain is almost always going. There's something always in there. What is it? What are you thinking about? What takes up the time in your brain? What you're going to do for the day? Where you're going tomorrow? What you got to do tomorrow? Hey, you know, every school kid's, you know, during the morning, every school kid, what am I going to eat for lunch? I'm waiting for that pizza to thaw out so they can put it in the microwave. I'm going to eat a hot lunch pizza. You know, hey, I look forward to eating good food too. And there's nothing wrong with thinking about that, but do we save any time and thought process and brain cells for, hey, I'm going to think about my Lord. He only died on the cross for your sins so that you could get him forgiven. It'd be good to think about, hey, thanks, Lord, for doing that. Think about it. If he hadn't died for the cross, where would you be today? I tell you, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be here. And I think a lot of you would agree. So he's done a lot for us. We ought to think about him once in a while. Think about what he's done for us, what we can do for him. About in what I value. He must increase and I must decrease in what I value. What do you mean? Well, we tend to place a lot of value on things that are temporal. Okay? It's all the things of this world. If they're still around during that time, God says it's going to burn up with a fervent heat. I don't even know if they're going to last that long, okay? Because if you read the book of Revelation, man, tribulation is going to be a horrible time. I think most of this stuff is going to be gone during the millennial reign of Christ, and we got the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. I don't know how much of this stuff's going to last that just that 7-year period, but eventually it comes a point everything's going to burn up and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? So all this stuff is temporary. And we need it. Don't get me wrong. We've got to have it. How much value do you put on it? Is that your focus? Is that your drive? That new thing you can get, whatever it is, I'm not gonna say what, because everybody's different. For one person, it might be the newest cell phone. And some of you out there would say, I don't care about that. okay, then it maybe it's the newest fishing rod, the newest gun, the newest sports car, the newest dress, the newest pair of shoes. Everyone's got different interests. There's all the kinds of different things that we get focused on, and hey, I believe God has given us some things to enjoy. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not up here preaching against new things. But is that only your focus? Is your value placed on what can I get for me and not eternal things? Eternal things. How much value do we place on the things of God? And how effectively we can serve Him? Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm like, does that fit? You know, how much value do I place on the things of God and how effectively I can serve Him? And I got thinking about it, and I thought, well, no, it matters because God wants us to be effective in our service. I got thinking about it. If you went up and you asked a carpenter, hey, I'm going to supply all the material, build me a house. Okay, and he walks over, and there's a powered circular saw with a generator cord, everything to run it, and right next to it, a handsaw. And he goes over and he grabs that handsaw and starts cutting the 2x4s with the handsaw. Eventually, you're going to go over to him and say, hey, bud, you see that power saw right there? It'd go a whole lot faster if you'd use that. And then there's a, you know, air nailer. You know, ever shoot one of those? Oh, yeah, you can put a lot of nails in 2x4s real quick. A whole lot faster than sitting there hammering away. Say, hey, use the power. Be effective. I want this house built sooner, not later. While we do that in the ministry for Christ and our service to Him, are we finding effective ways to minister for Him, or do we find non-effective ways? Whatever that may be, we need to effectively serve. Not just, hey, I'm serving God, okay, but what's it doing? Is it accomplishing much? Now, sometimes it's a lot harder these days, all right? Don't get me wrong. People are harder to the gospel. They don't want to hear it as much. There's too much out in this world to entertain them, okay? Coming to church is not very entertaining. They'd rather go see something else. But you know what? This is what they need. This is what we need. And we get out there and we try to, hey, let them know we're here. We're here for you. We want you to come. We want to come. What value do you place on that? You know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So we take that money, and like I said, don't get me wrong, I'm all for having nice things. All right, God gave us things to enjoy. He's blessed us. We've been very blessed in this country. But do we try to make sure, hey, I'm going to make sure that maybe I don't need that thing just yet? Because Christ needs to increase. I'm going to place more value on Him than on myself. How about on my time? He must increase in my time, and I must decrease. Think about your day. Most of our day, the majority of our time, is all about me. It's all about what I've got to do. It's all about what I need to get accomplished. Or it's all about, hey, I need to relax. Most of that time is it's our time. And then you've got that one special, you know, this is me time. This is me time. Do you plan any of that time for Him? You say, you know what? This is Jesus time. Don't bother me. This is Jesus time. And I'm not going to, that's the time for Him that I'm going to give to Him. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. I did it this summer. I challenged myself. I was faithfully trying to read 10 pages a day, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to up it. I'm going to try to up it a little bit. I upped it to 20. I'm going to say, I'm gonna try to get 20 pages a day and see how quickly I can get through my Bible reading. Some days it's hard. You sit there and you're like, wow, man, it's a lot of reading. But you know what? It's good. I really got something out of it. It was good for me to do that. So challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to read more in your Bible. You'd be amazed at how, you know, just a little bit you have, it doesn't really take that long. And you should go, all right, what if I doubled it? Can I take enough time? You got 24 hours in a day. If it takes you 20 minutes, can I give them 40 minutes? I guarantee you, in eternity, you're not going to look back and go, you know, I really wish I hadn't read those extra pages that day. I really wish I didn't take those that month to spend that extra time reading the Bible. You won't regret it. How about prayer and fellowship with God? Hey, I'm going to give you some extra time. I want you to increase in my time, so here it is. I'm going to give you some extra time. How about getting the gospel out to others? You plan to, hey, I plan to this week, I'm going to get out. I'm going to try to get the gospel out. It doesn't always come as planned. I've had times you go out, try to get the gospel out, and it's just nothing that day. It's just a dud. But hey, you tried. You went out. You did it. Hey, it was service for the Lord, and some days you see fruit, some days nothing. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. I'll spend more time filling the blank. You know what? Hey, you know how God works in your heart. I know God works in my heart and tells me, hey, I want you to do this. I want you working on this. You know what he wants you to work on. Do you give him that time? Do you say, all right, Lord, I'm gonna give you some time. I'm going to increase my time for you, and I'm going to decrease my time for myself. Or is it all about me? How about in my love? I'm going to increase my love for you. I'm going to decrease my love for myself. You say, I don't love myself. Oh, yeah, you do. We all love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We feed ourselves. We love ourselves. We do. Are we going to increase our love to him? If I love him more than myself, I might purpose not to sin as much as I do. I might actually succeed at not sinning as much as I do. Because you know what? If I'm purposing to love him more, he's got to be on my thoughts more, right? You know, I was dating my wife. She was on my thoughts a lot. I got thinking about her more often. And the more we dated, the more I started to think about her. And you talk to her, and, you know, you try talking to her every night or writing letters, and all of a sudden, someone who never crossed my mind is all of a sudden right there in the forefront. Well, if we give Jesus more of our love, you know what? I believe he's going to be in our thoughts more. And we're going to think about him more, and he'll be there in the forefront. So then, hey, that temptation to sin, that flesh tries to rear its ugly head at you and get you to do something that you know is wrong, you're going to go, you know what? No, I love him. And I know it disappoints him if I would do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to deny my flesh more because I must decrease and he must increase. How about to others? Jesus, we should give our love to him, but he also wants us to love others. And it pleases him, well, I believe it really does please him when we love other people. Well, if I love them, I'm going to put their needs before my own. You know, it's a give and take with the marriage relationship, and it's a give without expecting anything back in return to take. But it's a take because, hey, if it's given, you should receive it. All right? But you know what? We got to give our love to them, and it's me putting her needs before my own. As I tell you, there's sometimes I go, man, I want to put my needs before yours. But if I love her, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to put her needs first. I'm going to put her needs first. But not just with our spouse, but with others in the church. Hey, we're a family. Brothers and sisters, right? Well, we shouldn't be that dysfunctional family where there's always arguing going on and no one can get along. God wants us to get along together. We should put each other's needs before our own. Help each other where we can help each other. See, if I increase in my love to him, if I increase in my love to others, then my love for myself starts to decrease. So therefore, I start to not think of myself as highly as I ought to think. I'm not thinking that, I'm some thoughty. Yeah. No, I'm not going to think that because, hey, I love others. I love Jesus. And I'm not as good as I thought I am. I'm going to decrease in my love for myself. You know, in order to do all of these things, right, in order to say, hey, he must increase and I must decrease, we've got to have something, and it's in Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." That's humility. We need to have some humility in our life. Often we do. We think of ourselves too highly than we ought to think. Mentally, we put ourselves in a place where we're not even supposed to be. That happens. You look at somebody and think, I'm better than them. Are you really? Or is it, but by the grace of God, I'd be there too? Because often that's what it is. Oh, but by the grace of God, I'd be with that person in that lower state that I think, I couldn't get there. Yeah, you could. We could. We need to get rid of our pride and accept some humility. See, John the Baptist had some humility. That's why he was willing to be decreased so that Jesus could be increased. But you know what? Eventually, John didn't stay decreased his whole life. Because you think highly of him, don't you? If I say John the Baptist, you think pretty highly of him. Why? Because God increased him. Go to Matthew 11. Look and see what Jesus has to say about him. Now, this is when John was still on earth. He was in prison. But John didn't even get to hear this, okay? This is what Jesus had to say about John. In verse 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." That's a pretty high exaltation coming from Christ of one man. He must increase, but you know what? He got lifted back up. And you think about him today. We raise him up. We think very highly of John. I really don't think of anything negative about John the Baptist. Maybe the most negative thing I can think of is previous verses. He sends his disciples saying, hey, just go and make sure that this is the Christ. But I kind of don't blame the guy. He's been in prison here for a while, and he's going, hey, is he who I think he is? He's stuck in prison. He can't go see Jesus himself. But I can't really think anything negative to say about John. I've never really heard anything negative said about John. Most preachers, man, they lift him up because they'll say, man, he's the first Baptist preacher, you know, and they rant and rave about him. He was a good man. You know what? John's lifted up because he had the privilege of announcing Jesus. Think about that. He got to announce, hey, the ministry of Jesus Christ, it's starting. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a privilege. Then he had the privilege, he got to baptize the Lord. You know how humble John was? John's going, no, I should be baptized by you. John even goes as far as say, look, I don't even deserve to unlatch his shoes and take them off. But God said, you know what? I'm going to lift you up. You get to baptize the Lord. And then God lifts him up in his word. We get to read about him and hear about him and go, wow, what a great man of God. Because he realized he must increase and I must decrease. Go to James chapter 4. James 4 and 1 Peter 5. They're just a couple pages away from each other. James chapter 4. Look in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, very similar verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility is the key to this. Do you have enough humility to say, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease? And God says, look, in due time, I'll lift you up. Now, it may not be on this earth. You may never see it. Some do. Some see it. Some humble themselves. They do exactly what God wants them. And then, you know, 50 years later, their ministry's thriving and they're lifted up. Some don't. John didn't get to see it. He's stuck in prison. And here's Jesus talking greatly about him. And he's in prison. He doesn't even get to hear it himself. But it was later. I believe when John stood before God, God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what? You may not hear it on earth, but if you have that mentality of he must increase and I must decrease, when you stand before God one day, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You'll be lifted up that day. He's going to say, look at this servant of mine. You know, I believe while we're here on earth, I believe we do get lifted up. But we don't see it. We can see back in Job, we see a picture of Satan coming to God. God's bragging on Satan about Job, because Job was a godly man. You know what? I think God still does that. When Satan comes into the throne of God, I think God goes, hey, you see my servant down there? See how they're serving me? See, we don't see that, though. We don't get to experience that because we're still down here. But God says, don't worry, I'll lift you up. But if you have enough humility to do it. If you don't, if you want to lift yourself up, go ahead. You can try. But God says, pride will bring destruction. But we need to have some humility. Are we going to be like the bridegroom? I know we are the bride of Christ, and we don't know when he's coming back to get us. But you know what? We should be telling people, hey, he's coming. He came, died on the cross for your sin, and he's coming again. Are you ready? Because when he comes at this next time, if you're not saved, you're done. There ain't any hope for you. Because the saved are gone. He's going to take us out. I don't see how a lost person is going to make it through the tribulation. We need to be telling them about it. But you know what? If it's all about you, you're not going to tell folks. But if you're willing to decrease yourself, let him increase in your life, we'll tell other people about him and say, hey. And you know what? Your life will show it. And it'll point others to the Savior. Just like John pointed others to Jesus. He didn't care how big his ministry got. It got to where it needed to be, and then he was able to say, hey, there he is. Follow him. Which is what we should be doing. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? That's heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you number one in your life, or is Jesus number one? It's kind of the bottom line. Does he increase? Do you decrease? Dear Lord, we thank you for the example of John the Baptist. He had some humility in his life. Didn't let other people, when they tried to get him jealous, he didn't get jealous. Didn't bother him that Jesus' ministry was growing and his was starting to shrivel. Because he knew his purpose was to point others to you. God, help us to have that mindset in our own life that we're here to serve you. We're here to point others to you. Help us to have that mindset of you must increase in our life and we must decrease. Bless this time and the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.